So in this episode, I want to talk to you about life and love. I mean, what better subjects, right? So get yourself tea or coffee, or if you're on your walk, then enjoy and just take your time. Just enjoy, relax. Right, so one of the ways in which I stay grounded and appreciative of life is to always look backwards. And I know sometimes people think you shouldn't look backwards at all, but without reference, we really don't know how well we're doing, right? And each person has their unique story and their unique journey. And it doesn't, honest to God, it doesn't matter where you're from in the world or what status you're from. You know, sometimes the very status will amplify those problems. So I know people off the TV and the films and other people as well who are incredibly lonely, you know. So sometimes it just maximizes the problem. So it really doesn't matter. But if you can reference where you've come from whilst calculating the issues that you've gone through, you know, it would be so nice to arrive at a point where you're kind of confident with that and you're kind of at peace with that and you're proud. I would love that for you. So one of the things that I do is I have got a weird fascination with World War II in particular. I think for many reasons, which is one, my grandparents were in it. Two, I don't know. I don't know. I just have a fascination with it. I thought there was more than one thing. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. But it's like, I don't know. Maybe I was like past life or something. I just don't know. I don't know. But it just feels so relevant. And, I highly recommend you watch a film called One Life with Sir Anthony Hopkins in it. And the story in that is just absolutely profound. It talks about one very ordinary human being rescuing children from, you know, Nazi Germany, and bringing them over to the UK. And, you know, being just incredibly humble about it. You know, as the film unravels, and I won't ruin it for you, but that's pretty much the synopsis of it anyway. So if you were to read it, that's what it would say. But basically, it's like, I do think there's a point where it's definitely displayed and shown and illuminated to his wife. You know, they go through their life, like just plodding along, and then it all starts to come out. And the wife, for some reason, when I watched it, I put myself in the wife's shoes and I just thought, my God, imagine getting to a point where you realize you've married the right person because you now know what they do and who they are. And it has nothing to do with financial gain. It has nothing to do with who they are, you know, like celebrity or anything like that. But everything to do with this person has tried to help humanity. And I think that must be such a brilliant place to land. And I think, and I want to take this opportunity really to just kind of put that to the forefront, you know, and even just think about it yourselves and just be thinking, am I making the right decisions? You know, and I always think if you're going to do anything in this world, it's to be extraordinary. And really, if you break that word down, it's really not hard. It's extraordinary. You just have to be a little bit extra in the ordinary. You know, you don't have to find the cure for cancer or anything like that, although that would be brilliant. But it's like, just be extra kind, extra thoughtful, extra sweet, you know? And I think it would be absolutely brilliant to just land in a place emotionally, psychologically, physically, knowing that the person next to you is extraordinary. And how safe that would feel. So many times I take calls and, you know, the psychic conversations that I have, and it is really based around service and materialism most of the time. You know, when is this person going to call me? When is this person going to do this and this and this? And this person has to do this. I'm high value. And we've become a little bit distorted. And it's like, yes, you are high value. I am not reducing that one bit. But when compared to someone who is being an extraordinary human being, it humbles you. You know, so I think focus on that more. Focus on the charity work. Focus on the person with a mission. Focus on the person that you know would take a bullet for you. You know, go for that person. That person, all right? Now, the second thing I want to talk to you about is off the top of my head, I think it's no, Saint. Yeah, they sainted him. That's the wrong term, but you know what I mean. Saint Maximilian Kolbe. 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 I think it's Kolbe's. Kolbe. Now, when I went to Auschwitz, obviously it was just impounding in the sense of the horrors. Like, it was just unbelievable. And there was one block and that really stood out, and it was the one that Maximilian was in. Now, he was a priest, I believe, and he sacrificed himself to save somebody else. I mean, a man of service. And this is what I mean. Most people walk the walk, but do they walk the talk or talk the walk? Whatever. I know I've messed that up. I butchered that. But you know what I mean? Are they actually who they say they are? You know, and it's okay to be fake it till you make it, and it's okay to put yourself out there and at least try. But there is nothing better than someone who self-sacrifices. Like, it's hotter than hot. Like, it's just beautiful, you know. And, you know, he literally, I think there's a film about it. I contacted the producers and see if they want to, and they want to be in the next magazine, because, you know, obviously we need to get this film off the ground. And I do invest in a few little things. There was a Virginia Woolf statue in Richmond that I threw some money at to get that off the ground. And it's so important to tell these stories and get these people out there, you know. And that's one of the drivers for the magazine, the Impact Formula that I own. It's to get people talking and, you know, to highlight and showcase extraordinary people so that we can kind of say, well, okay, lead us to the light, basically. How do we do it? What do we need to do? What do I need to do in within myself to find some kind of stability and purpose? You know, we do have it easy at the moment. You know, for decades we've had it easy. You know, we have running water, we have electricity. You know, yes, we're on a downturn. Yes, the economy is popping left, right, and centre. But when you watch these kind of films, and this is one of the reasons why I love watching these kind of films and have a fascination with World War II, is because it was the day that the world changed as we knew it. Trauma became a massive epidemic, and it's starting to happen again now. You know, and if we can learn from these people and say, okay, I need to step up. Even when it comes to immigration, I see so much hate towards people from a foreign land. And it's like they're not taking away your Britishness, or they're not taking away from your nationality. You are your nationality. So represent that in a better way. Be extraordinary. Be extraordinarily kind. Be extraordinarily, hospitable. You know, we can all live together. We can, but I would much rather learn from people who have, you know, really put their neck out. And you know, it's just a weird time at the moment, because the social media has really kind of amplified this existence, which is very shallow. And I know it's rich coming from me, because I've literally just had some tweaks done, you know. But to be fair, that was for my own. I am a bit of a tweaker, but I lead from the heart, you know, and I would rather die of a broken heart than die a slow, long death of nothingness, of a void. I'd rather have a bit of passion, you know, and your life will change when you start to live with the mindfulness of being extraordinary. So let me tell you oh, hang on. Let you in on a little secret. So if this is the first time you're listening to things, my speech isn't great. So I get all tangled. So talking about tangled, they have discovered that our DNA, you know, like the DNA helix, it's all these little particles basically stuck together on this kind of like grid, and then it's kind of like a helix. Between those particles, there's what they call potential energy. And that's its actual phrase. So you're thinking, well, what's that? Well, if you can tap into that potential energy, it will manifest, it will create. So very much like, you know, those bars in gymnastics where the people go on them and they start doing the hula hoop things and the bendy things. You know that? Well, just before, there's a board, isn't there? Springboard. So you jump on the springboard and you land on the stick thing, the bar. Now that board, that springboard, is potential energy. It's going to do absolutely nothing if you just look at it. But if you apply your weight to it will spring into action. So it goes on the instructions it's given, and your DNA energy is exactly that. So that's why people say you need to fake it to make it. And you have to action something to achieve it. Sitting there with a vision board, sitting there with it all in your head isn't going to do anything. You have to physically show your DNA what you want to achieve. And then the energy in that movement, in that behavior, gets released and the potential is there. So, say you have a 5-year-old on your hands, right? And you say, you're showing signs of being a really good artist. Would you like to be one? And they go, yeah, I want to be an artist, I want to be an artist. So, what you do to tap into that potential artistry is you get them to behave like an artist, right? Okay, well, you need to practice and you need to learn about other artists. And sooner or later, their behaviors start to move in a way which is of an artist, and you've released that potential energy, you know? So, it's all about your behavior. So if you move in an extraordinary way, if you move in a kind way, instead of just going for a walk, if you go for a walk and you love life and you love the trees and you love the sky, your body's going to move in a different way. And then it's going to release potential energy. So you're potentially going to be so engaged in your environment and so happy, you know? Isn't life brilliant? Like, we can change every 5 minutes. Isn't that great? We have our ups and we have our downs. And I'm an unstable person sometimes. I really am. I'm not going to lie. Emotionally, I can shut down or I can be really loving. Like, it's just, hello, which one is it? I don't even know myself. I tend to have a trigger. I do know what that trigger is. I get overwhelmed and tired and I work too much. And then I wonder why I've had a meltdown. But isn't that brilliant how we then are consciously aware of something and we can start to see how we can actually iron that out and we can see how we can change ourselves by behaving differently, you know? So think about yourself, think about what you want to achieve and think about that potential energy. That potential energy is going to get released the minute your DNA has a different instruction. So when you start moving differently, you start eating differently, you start thinking differently, that shit's going to change in a really, really good way. And also study the past because it really helps you to get very content and very appreciative for where we are now in life. If we constantly look at the future, we're going to feel incredibly behind and not good enough. But if we look at the past and we recognize the past, and there are people who died for our country that we don't even know and died for our lives. It's not even about a national thing here. It's about so that we get to live. And, you know, they crashed their aeroplane in the middle of the ocean and no, they didn't even get buried. We don't even know of them. So we owe them that, you know, we owe them to study the past. I collect old photographs of World War II soldiers and people that, you know, their families have cleared out an attic or something and thought, well, who are these? And put them on eBay and I buy them because I think I want to recognize you. I want to see you. I want to see how you lived. I want to cherish your life, you know. And on my days off, I go sit in the graveyard and I just look at the stones and think, I still want you to be seen. I still want to this day, maybe it's like 200 years after, you know, some of these tombstones are really old. And I want them to know spiritually and emotionally, and well, I don't think psychologically or physically that would happen because obviously they're dead. But emotionally and spiritually, I want them to know that 200 years after, someone still wonders about them. You know, so watch films to do with world wars and struggles and Auschwitz and Middle Eastern stuff. You know, and Mexican stuff and American stuff and American Indian stuff. Like the world is huge. And, you know, just by studying how bad it was and just by remembering and recognizing that stuff, honestly, your day gets better because immediately you're reminded to be humble, you know. So, anyway, short one today. I'm not going to waffle on, but I hope that is helpful in some weird way. Yeah. Anyway, might have a nap now. Love you loads. As always, I think you're so brilliant and you're so open and clever. I really appreciate it, you, because basically I can waffle on until the cows come home, and sometimes I don't know what shit's going to come out of my mouth. I just press record. And you always tap in and you always listen and you do feedback, you know. And I think we have such a lovely relationship. I really do. And I really care about you. And it's really important for me to make sure that you're on a good path. All right. We don't want these paths that lead to doom. And we don't want to be panicked. We all have issues. We're all up and down, all over the place. We all have something and insecurities, you know, and shy and things like that. And we're all in the same boat. But let's keep alive. Let's keep hope. Let's keep pushing ourselves a little bit, all right? So, look, I love you loads. Mwah. Love ya.